Hello. Welcome to Syracuse Speaks, The View from the AHL, a Syracuse Crunch-centric podcast. I'm your host, Alex Ackerman. Let's get started. All right. Well, we're just going to go ahead and do this because it's 5:30 on Saturday, April 30th. Syracuse is currently losing 4-0 to the Rochester Americans with about 3 minutes left in the third period of game four of the North Division semifinals. It is a 5-game series. So at this point in time, Rochester has erased Syracuse's 2-0 series lead. They have won the last two games against the Crunch and have forced a game five to be played this Saturday, May 6th, in Syracuse. I am going to take a not very sizable gamble at this point in time and assume that Syracuse is indeed losing this game and that they will not be able to score 4 goals in 2 minutes and 30 seconds to tie this and send it to overtime. I have a podcast to get done, and I have to be honest with you all. If you are in the mood for optimism, happy-go-lucky, yep, game five is going to be all Syracuse type of attitude, you should probably go someplace else, except, oh wait, there is really no place else for you to go. I'm it. Even Crunch Chronicles hasn't posted an episode in about a month or two. There doesn't really seem to be much of anyone else talking about this team, which is why some recent events have kind of confused me, but we're going to let that go. This is tough, everybody. You know, I wish I could say that I was surprised that we find ourselves in this situation as fans, but I'm not. And one of my promises with this podcast is that I try to maintain perspective at all times. I try to maintain perspective about the team, about the league, about the realities of being an American Hockey League team, and also about my own personal realities and how those realities are affecting the lens and my viewpoint through which I see the team. Right now, to full disclosure, I have some pretty big things going on. There's a lot in motion right now that could drastically change my life in a lot of different ways. And so my mindset is not really on the team at this point in time. To be totally honest with you, it would have been much easier for me had the Crunch not made the playoffs. And I realize that that's my life. No one else has to share those feelings. We're here, and this is what we're dealing with. But my ability to focus a ton and to gather up energy right now towards anything but the big moving pieces in my life right in this moment is very tough. So I just wanted to get that disclaimer out of the way. And let's go ahead and dive in. There's 54 seconds left in the third period right now, and Rochester is still up 4-0. So I'm fairly sure that I'm safe to talk about this. How did we get here? Well, we got here the same way we got to this type of situation all season long. During April 21st and 22nd, Syracuse played 2 games against the Rochester Americans. Truth be told, those games were incredible. Syracuse won game one of this series in overtime with a final score of 3-2. They scored 2 power play goals. They had 40 shots on net. Rochester scored no power play goals, had 23 shots on net. All of the goals were scored in the second period. The game was physical. It was competitive. It was frustrating at times. Syracuse hadn't really found themselves yet, you could tell. But it was impressive. You know, the fact that they came out and they won game one, honestly, I wasn't expecting it. I don't think a lot of people were. I don't think Rochester was. So that was good. Saturday, April 22nd was game two. It was one of the best games of hockey I think I've ever seen any Crunch team play. And granted, I've been watching this team for 18 seasons. That's a lot of hockey that's all just kind of mishmashed together in my brain. So that might not be the most accurate statement I've ever made. But regardless, it was an exciting game. Syracuse shut out Rochester with a final score of 3-0. They scored 2 goals in the first period, 1 goal in the third. Neither team scored on the power play. Syracuse outshot Rochester 32-18. And it must be said, for the first time in organizational team history, held an opposing team to no shots on goal for an entire period. Rochester did not register one single shot on goal during the first period in that game. It was complete. The compete level was ridiculously high. Syracuse dominated from start to finish. It was masterful. It was absolutely masterful. That game was the game that really showed that this team is in fact capable of playing that way. And I just, you know, it was amazing. And I think it gave a lot of us hope. I think those of us that have been watching this team struggle all season with consistency and struggle all season to put together a complete game and always have problems in the neutral zone, always have problems defending, always have problems cleaning up rebounds, always, always, always. It was the same problems all year long. Those things really seemed to be cleaned up in game one and then especially in game two. It was amazing. It was fantastic. It was exciting. And I think we all felt as fans that this is great. This is happening. The famous Ben Grew switch has finally been flicked. And this team has a chance to make it out of this round, which honestly, I don't think many of us really, truly, if we're honest with ourselves, felt was possible before the round started. Syracuse took a 2-0 series lead into the week. They got a week off to recover from the very physical game two. Unfortunately, throughout that week, Crunch fans got news that their captain, Gabriel Dumont, was going to be suspended for not one, but 2 games off of a hit that, to be quite honest, I don't think Dumont meant anything by. I think it was awkward, and I think that it ended up poorly. I also think that the player who left the game returned within a minute and was quote-unquote day-to-day following that game, played the rest of the game after the injury, and Dumont received a game misconduct, which meant he was out for the majority of the game. He missed all of the second, all of the third, and a lot of the first. I felt like that was enough punishment for a hit that really didn't seem to result in anything serious. The league disagreed. Syracuse lost their captain for 2 decisive, potentially series-ending games in the first round. Okay, great. Little worrying, but Syracuse played without Dumont for most of game two because of the game misconduct. So shouldn't have been the end of the world. Well, Crunch went in to Rochester a little bit under a week later, Friday, April 28th, for game three. Ended up losing that game 8-5. Normally, when you score 5 goals in a hockey game, it's enough to win, but not when the other team scores 8. Granted, 2 of those were open net goals. Doesn't matter. Final score was still 8-5. Syracuse got 1 power play goal. Rochester got 3. The shots on goal were almost even at 28 Syracuse, 27 Rochester. That's where that game ended. Now we come to today. The game has officially ended the way that I figured it would. The unofficial final, but it's the final score, is 4-0 Rochester. So Syracuse didn't even get a goal in a game where they could have closed out the series. Syracuse had 1 power play the entire game. Rochester somehow managed 6 power plays. They scored on 1 of them. And actually, of course, it was the first penalty that Syracuse received of the game. So, you know, I I don't do a whole lot with complaining about officials in this league, but this season in particular has been rather glaring when it comes to unbalanced officiating and games that just don't seem to be judged totally equally, if that is something I can say. But regardless, that's the final score there. Rochester has come back from a 2-0 deficit, has forced a game 5, and that will be played this Saturday in Syracuse. The winner of that series gets to play either Utica or Toronto. That series is currently tied at 1-1, so it is still anybody's series, and they next play on Wednesday. So their series is happening at about the same sort of time as Rochester and Syracuse, which is why the Crunch and the Amerik series has been really drawn out. They're playing this series over 3 different weekends. So that's basically because Utica had to play their first round, that weird best of 3, against Laval before they could go play Toronto, because the playoff field is stupid. So, what's going right for Syracuse? The good news this season, unlike last season, is that the Crunch's consistent scorers are showing up for the playoffs. Last season, if you recall, Syracuse lost in the first round against Laval. They took that series to 5 games, and the Crunch's top 3 scorers from the regular season, Barry Boulay, Dumont, and I can't remember who the other one was, but doesn't really matter, didn't score a goal the entire playoff series. It was very disappointing. Last year, Anthony Richard led Syracuse in playoff scoring with 6 points, and then the scoring fell off sharply from there. Ramey Ellie, both of whom, by the way, are no longer with the team, had 3 points, all goals, and then we had a bunch of 3 points and then 2s and then 1s. So Syracuse's scoring really fell off last year during the Calder Cup playoffs in that 5-game series against Laval. It was very disappointing and very frustrating because the people that Syracuse had depended on all season long to win games weren't scoring, weren't really showing up for whatever reason. This season, that is not happening. Sort of. Unfortunately, I think that if this podcast had been recorded last weekend, this would have been a little bit different. But now we're in this weekend, and Syracuse has, you know, their goal scoring, to be quite frank, is a little lopsided. But the points are better, I would say, than during their first round last season. So Alex Barry-Boulay has shown up for these playoffs. He has 7 points, 1 goal, 6 assists. Just like all season long, his goal totals are not anywhere near what his assist totals are. He's out there doing the right things. He's making the smart plays. He's showing up. He has another franchise record of some kind. I think it's like total points in 1 game or something. So, you know, he's still doing the right things. Gage Gonsalves, still doing the right things. He's got 3 goals, 2 assists in 4 games, 5 points. Simon Ryfors, 3 goals, 2 assists, 5 points. Fantastic. Felix Robert, 1 goal, 1 assist. I'd like to see him doing a little bit more, but, you know, you can't complain. Then from there, as it has pretty much all season, as has been the problem all season, Syracuse's scoring drops off sharply. The next 4 top scorers for Syracuse, Sean Element, Trevor Carrick, Cole Koepke, and Jack Thompson, have no goals. They each have 2 assists. So their point totals are at 2, with 2 assists each. It isn't until you get down to number 9 on Syracuse's scoring list, Declan Carlisle, that you hit someone who has scored a goal again at 1 goal. And then you have a bunch of people that haven't done much of anything. So we know the depth on this team is not great. It hasn't been great all season. It's been a concern all season long. nothing was really done to address it. So here we are. It's tough. You know, I look at this roster and what we saw them capable of in games one and especially in games two, and I really wonder where that went over these last two games. I did not watch these last two games. I have to be honest with you. I've been focusing in other areas of my life, but the numbers alone don't tell a great story. Now, on the other side of the equation, Trevor Carrick has 16 penalty minutes in four games. Philip Myers, 10 penalty minutes in four games. Gabriel Dumont, 15 in four games, two games, because remember he was suspended. But of course, that also includes a 10-minute game misconduct for that hit that we've already talked about. So in reality, he has five penalty minutes over two games or something like that. So, you know, I'm not gonna pick on that too much, but you know, Daniel Walcott, 8 penalty minutes. Look, you know, Gage Gonsalves, 8 penalty minutes. Look, I'm not gonna sit here and cry, you know, poor us, the refs or whatever. But this team is being watched closely by the officials. I think that much we can say for sure. And you can either let that dictate how bad of a game you have, or you can let it dictate in the other direction. This team in game five needs to knock it off. They have proven that they can play in a physical way that is also smart and not going to get that level of negative attention. That's what they need to do on Saturday in game five. Now, the biggest wild card for the Crunch right now is a certain player who might or might not make an appearance on Saturday. I am, of course, talking about defenseman Darren Radish. The Tampa Bay Lightning is done. They lost the first round of their own series in the Stanley Cup playoffs to Toronto. They are done. Darren Radish is the only player on the Lightning's roster eligible to be returned to Syracuse for their playoffs. He was the only player sent down at the deadline. He was the only player on the Crunch's roster at that 3:00 time. He is it. However, if there's a player on the Lightning roster that could be sent to their AHL club, Radish is not a bad player to have. One of our biggest concerns this entire season has been the defense and the depth at the blue line, which is basically non-existent after the first like pairing and a half. Radish will greatly, greatly help that. He could potentially be a difference maker on Saturday for Syracuse. Radish ended the regular season fourth in points on the team, despite the fact that he didn't even play the whole season. He only played 50 games before getting recalled and sticking with the Lightning. He had 51 points in those 50 games, 13 goals, 38 assists. He was a positive 19, and he had 40 penalty minutes over 50 games. Like, that's less than one penalty a game. He's a clean player. He's an effort-filled player. He's done well with the Lightning. He has impressed with the Lightning. He's gotten playoff time with the Lightning. And there is a potential for him to come down to Syracuse and help them out on Saturday. What worries me personally is that I have not seen anything about Radish being returned to Syracuse. Sometimes NHL parent clubs make the decision to not send down these types of players because they're concerned about fatigue. They're concerned about the grind of playing the NHL game. Radish has been up there for quite a long time. And so instead of sending them to the AHL, they decide to just say, your season's done, go start recuperating and resting. Go do what you need to do. That's a possibility. I have, like I said, I haven't seen anything anywhere that has said that Radish is returning to Syracuse. I think we're all assuming that that will be the case, but it might not be. If the Lightning really wants to give Syracuse the best chance of moving on, I think that that would be the best thing for them to do. Will they? I don't know. You know, it's uncertain. You know, I'm hopeful that he will return to play game five on Saturday. I think that if he does, the Crunch will have a bigger chance of winning. But Syracuse is going to have to do more than just add Radish to the roster. They really need to look at their game in the upcoming week and make some pretty big shifts in how they're handling their emotions. And you know what? The veterans on this team need to step up and help the rookies with that. That's one of the biggest things everybody always talks about when it comes to veterans during the playoffs, is they help the young guys manage their emotions. And again, going two games without your captain on the bench, you lose a lot of that. And Dumont is one of the most, other than Carrick, experienced guys on the bench when it comes to playoff experience. Not only that, but Syracuse playoff experience. Dumont has played a lot of games with Syracuse in the playoffs. In fact, the majority of his playoff career, we're talking almost 40 games just with Syracuse alone. Dating all the way back to the glory days of the 2017 Calder Cup playoffs. You know, he has 68 total games of playoff experience between Hamilton and Syracuse. He played 22 games of that 2017 playoff series, those four rounds that Syracuse went. So he has a lot of Syracuse playoff experience. Hopefully having him back on the bench on Saturday will make a difference. But I'm going to call on the veterans on this team. They got to figure themselves out. You know, unfortunately, it's a lot of the veterans that have the higher penalty minutes right now, which also speaks to the amount of playing time that they're getting. You know, and also, I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, and I never claim to. I don't know who's nursing injuries. I don't know who is, you know, struggling with who knows, you know, things at home. I don't know. You know, the inconsistencies of this team have certainly been present all year long. So this is not exactly a surprise, but it's especially frustrating after seeing the way this team played in games one and two to see it all fall apart. Saturday is it. Either they do or they don't. And that's my birthday weekend, full disclosure. Whether they do or don't, I probably will not put out an episode on my birthday, May 7th, because as I said, I have a lot going on in my life right now, and I kind of want to be able to, I'm annoyed, to be honest with you, that we're even having to go to see hockey that weekend, because I really am hoping for some good things to happen this week. And then I wanted that weekend to be just fun birthday stuff and be able to relax. And now I'm not, you know, first world problems here, right? It's like, oh, you're so privileged. You can afford playoff hockey of your favorite hockey team and you're whining about it. Yeah, okay. You're right. I am. Like I said, this is not an episode. If you were looking for happy-go-lucky positive perspective, this ain't it, friends. Do I think this team has it in them to win on Saturday? I do. We've seen the proof. And with the return of Dumont to the bench and the potential return of Darren Radish to the roster, I think they can do it. But this team has also proven repeatedly this season that there is a difference between what they can do and what they end up showing. They're going to have to put it all out there on Saturday and then see what happens. So that's where we are. To be honest with you, I'm not entirely sure when the next episode of this podcast is going to be because I have my birthday weekend and then I graduate with my CIS degree the following weekend, which is also going to be a very busy one. So I'm not entirely sure when I will next post. Maybe I'll be able to squeeze something in. I should be, you know, posting on the 14th next. I might be squeezing something in then. But like I said, I got a lot going on and nobody pays me for this. And at this point in time, my incentives to keep talking about a group that can't seem to figure themselves out are low. So I do want to thank you all for listening as always. I know that this weekend especially was tough on everybody. And if I'm looking through social media right now as I am, there's a lot of fans that are struggling with the team's performance over the weekend. There's a lot of frustration. There's a lot of annoyance. It's frustrating. So this episode went way longer than I thought it was going to be. I have to be honest. I figured I was going to, you know, come in and just complain and then leave. But I hope you got some enjoyment out of today. And I'll see y'all on Saturday. I think that will do it for this week's episode. As always, thank you so much for listening. I'm open to interactions and feedback, so please feel free to get in touch with me over Twitter. My hockey Twitter is FPHCrunch, FPHCRUNCH, and my personal Twitter is Allovimo, Allovimo. My personal Twitter is protected, but if you want to send me a follow request and I can see that you're a hockey person, I would be more than happy to go ahead and add you over there. Before we go, I'd also like to thank Purple Planet Music and Kevin McLeod for providing the royalty-free music heard in this episode. Keep taking care of each other out there in Crunchland, and I will see you next time.